All right, if you have your Bible, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter number 1, please. John chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to preach you a message this morning entitled Roadblocks on the Road to Hell. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Father, bless your holy word. Anoint this messenger, Father, as I attempt to preach it. In thy name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. The one who bore witness to the light is John the Baptist, John the Baptizer. He was Law and the Prophets foretold John. But since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, every man presseth into it. So John the Baptist was the end of a dispensation and the forerunner to the beginning of another dispensation. God deals with men according to a revelation of a truth over an extended period of time, and that's called a dispensation. Then when he changes in something to a different manner of dealing with men, he extends, he progressively gives them more revelation of himself until they can understand more fully and completely who God is. Let me say this morning. If the Almighty, that eternal absolute spirit being that is from everlasting to everlasting, laid out before us all that encompasses who he is, there is not a human being that's ever walked on the face of this earth that could even begin to comprehend who this one is. It will take us an eternity for God to manifest himself to us, that eternal being that we call Jehovah God. But I'm going to call your attention to what it says in verse number 9. The Bible says of the Word is the Lord Jesus Christ, no question about that. But the Bible says that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. This is roadblock number 1. If you do continue on the road to hell. And my dear friend, let me tell you something today. Be very clear about this for you. You choose that road to hell. That's a choice that you make. That's one of the things that God elevates you above the animals with, that he gives you a volition. You have choice. You can make decisions. You have a mind that is capable of analytical inspection. You can take something, look at it, think over it, and then surmise. You can come to a conclusion. You can think about the past. You can think about the present. And you can think about the future. You can think in abstract terms about things that have happened or what could have happened if this happened. Your faculties to think are essentially bound up only in the experiences that you have and the revelation that God gives you. This is why man is so much higher than the animal creation. The Bible says in Hebrews, just a little lower than the angels when God made mankind. But he made you to be much higher than the angels one day. You are a unique creature with the potential of being right up there in the very presence of God. This is why John says it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall see him as he, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The potential of a human being, the potential of what God has in store for us, is beyond description today. God will give you far more than a place. He's going to do something for you that has never even crossed your mind. The Bible said, "I hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things the Lord has in store for them that love him." Amen. So when we read here in the book of John, chapter number 1, about the Lord Jesus Christ being the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world, let me say right at the very beginning of this, I cannot fully comprehend everything that is involved in this, but I can tell you this, every last man of Adam's race is accountable to Almighty God. And he does put within the bosom of a man that ability to comprehend truth when it comes to him. And that truth will inevitably lead you to the truth and the way and the life, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is a light, dear friend. You may see that light as it manifests itself in a conscience. That light may manifest itself in intuition. It may manifest itself in a lot of different ways. And these ways are drawing you to God. God, out of the darkness into the light. And in his house this morning, you know in your soul, in the depths of your very being, how much of the truth you have rejected, how much of it you've tried to sweep away, how much of it you've accepted. This is the part where God judges the individual man. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 4, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This book is unlike any book you've ever picked up in your life. When you start reading the Bible, you get this feeling that it's reading you. When you look at this book and you try to pass over things in it that are not comfortable, that you may not be concerned about, it has a way of bringing you back to the very mind of God. And so therefore, on a road to hell, you must jettison, you must throw aside, you must say no to that light that is drawing you inside your soul, that gives you the discernment of your thoughts and intents of the heart. In this house today, some of you have had your heart open. You've had the light shine on the innermost part of your being, and you didn't like what you saw. You didn't like it. And then therefore you ran to some guru, you ran to some church, you ran to some religion, and they soothed you. And they gave you sweet talk, and they made you feel good about yourself. But deep down inside your soul, you know you are what you are. You know nothing has changed. And all of the sweet talk and all of this make you feel good stuff, all of this positive pumping up your ego, is not going to change the fact that you need God. And the only way you're going to get him is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say to you this morning, why don't you just let down your guard and come to him and say, Jesus, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of rejecting. I'm tired of unbelief. It's time now to be saved and accept the Lord. Amen. So the roadblocks on the road to hell start with the light and rejection of the light. The second roadblock on the road to hell is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we sang two songs about this morning. I want you to think about what it says in Hebrews. It talks about trampling underfoot the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What more could a man do to show his contempt for Almighty God than to trample under his feet the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? There's only one thing, dear friend, that can wash your sins away. There's only one thing that can give you a clear conscience with God. There's only one thing that will become a wall between you and the devil and will stop hell from claiming you, and that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That blood represents a sinless life that was shed at Calvary. That blood represents a blood covenant that, my friend, binds man to God and God to man. When God makes a covenant, he doesn't forget it. When God says something, he doesn't have a bad memory. It's his character on the line. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. You live in a country full of pagans and barbarians. I've watched America descend into the pit. It's amazing at how much barbarity that we're living around today. Somebody's disgruntled, he goes out and kills 5 or 10 people. Human life has no value anymore. Don't you see what I'm saying? Once you lose that respect and that honor for human life, then you've lost respect and honor for God himself. For man was made in the image of God. To assault a man is to assault the creation of God. Man is the highest order of creature on the face of this earth. Yet we live in a barbarous society. Why? Because they're trampling underfoot the blood of the Son of God. In the Old Testament,
judgment the death angel came through Egypt, he looked for one thing. He looked for blood. I know the blood has been applied to my soul. Hallelujah! I know that my sins have been washed away. Many they were, oh God. Almighty knows how vile and corrupt, but they're gone, praise God. They're washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trample underfoot his blood. No, sir, friend. No, sir. I plead that blood. I cover with that blood. I hide behind that blood. That blood is a signal. It's a binding agreement between God and me that I'll never see hell. I trust in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But on your road to hell, dear friend, that blood becomes a roadblock, and you've got to do something with it. What are you going to do with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed 2,000 years ago and shed for you? Amen. The third thing that you'll find is a roadblock on the way to hellfire is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 19 is a beautiful scripture. I want to read it to you. 2 Corinthians 5:19. To it that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now there's a lot of things that could be said about the cross. And my dear friend, you could preach for the next year messages about nothing but the cross. That's a wonderful subject. Believe me, it is. And there's no way this preacher's going to exhaust the preaching of the cross to you this morning. The Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth, I came in your midst knowing nothing but Christ and him crucified. He knew the power of God. The cross is a manifestation of the power of God. The cross is a declaration for all creation that God loves mankind. But I want you to notice something about this. It is at the cross at Calvary, of all places, from Genesis through Revelation. Listen carefully to what I'm saying to you now. All that Holy Bible, every bit of that Holy Bible, cannot come up to the one great thing that is revealed at Calvary. And that is the very nature of God himself. He's not up there with a club to club you into hell. He's not after you to get you. God's not laying traps in your path to draw you from this earth and to send you into damnation. It was at the cross at Calvary, the true heart and nature of God was made known to mankind. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Boy, I want you to just digest that for a minute. It was at the cross at Calvary that we see the Father. This is who we're talking about. God the Father took that right there. And it was at Calvary that he took every soul that has ever lived or ever will live. And there he justified the sinner. He saved the sinner. He redeemed the sinner. He forgave the sinner. And he covered him by the blood at the cross at Calvary. It cannot pass that cross. Satan cannot pass that cross. The cross is a roadblock. The cross is a message. The cross is a sign where God says, this is it. It goes no further. Sin was settled at the cross at Calvary. Amen. So the Apostle Paul says, I know nothing among you but Christ and him crucified. If you go to hell, you're going to have to go to hell around the cross, because you'll never go to hell through the cross. That cross is where God saves, justifies the sinner. It is something there that I just try my best to get across to people. You got a bunch of people out here that don't know whether they're coming or they're going, that are taking Old Testament scriptures that says that God is angry with the wicked every day. And he was in the Old Testament, because no atonement had been made in the Old Testament. No blood of the Son of God had been shed in the Old Testament. The Bible says that they had a remembrance year by year of the sins of the former year, and their conscience could not be clear and clean in the Old Testament. But boy, I'm telling you right now, at the cross at Calvary, I want you to think about an olive branch that has been reached forth to you. I want you to think about the one who says, oh, you sinned against me. You blasphemed me. You kicked against me. You hate me. But I want you to know something. I love you. And from this day forward, I'm satisfied. My anger is assuaged. My anger is over. I'm satisfied with the death of my son. God is no longer angry with a sinner. Every bit of judgment, the Father says now, from this day forward, throughout eternity, is in the Son's hand. All judgment now has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what the Bible says. So now it's the Son. Well, what about the Son, preacher? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. You want to be with me? Today you will be with me in paradise. The Son of God, who gave himself on the cross at Calvary for you, is the one now that you'll stand before. And you know what you'll stand before him for, dear friend? For looking up in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose blood runs down and drips from his beard. And you say to him, eyeball to eyeball, I don't need you. I don't want you. Leave me alone. I'm out of here. I'm going to live my life the way I want to. And I don't need a crucified Savior who's dying for me. And the Lord Jesus Christ will look back at you and say, you choose your path. You reject me. I force myself on no one. I'm dying for you and I give myself for you, but if you reject me and refuse me, then you're a free agent. Go your way. And then when the day of judgment comes, life or death, you'll have no hope, because Christ is our life. And on that great white throne judgment day, when the books are opened and another book is opened, which is the book of life, you'll be brought before the one and he'll say to you, your name's not in here. You wanted it taken out. You rejected it. Said, no, you don't want it. I'm giving you what you chose. And away you're turned into eternal damnation, because there's no life without him. That is a roadblock on the road to hell. And then the fourth roadblock on the road to hell is not something you can see. It's not something you can touch. It's not something you can put under a microscope. But boy, is it ever real. It's the long-suffering of God. I want to read to you what the Bible says about that long-suffering of God. Ecclesiastes chapter number 8 and verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You got away with it. Some of you have been getting away with it for 20 years. 30 years. You've been getting away with it. You live like the devil. You think the world is just a big playpen. It's just a big happy place for you to go out and do whatever you please. And there's no accountability. And God's long suffering. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 2 and verse 4, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It is that long suffering until I was 27 years old. Long suffering. And every place I ever went to on this earth, everything I ever did, it was long suffering to me. I deserve to be struck down and in hell time and time again. Yet it's long suffering. He has patience. He has long patience. Some of you have pushed God at his limit. Some of you have played with his patience. Some of you have mocked his patience. And he's still patient with you. Even to the point to where you think he's doesn't care anymore. Or he's not watching, or he's not listening. Oh, what a horrible thing.
Let me read it again. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Boy, have you seen lately how many people from cold case files here in Knoxville, Tennessee, and all around us, because of DNA, that they're resurrecting these? You know, there's no time limit on murder. There's no statute of limitations on murder. And they're calling these murderers out that have died, that have committed murders 20 and 30 years ago by DNA. I'm sure that a long time ago they thought they got by with it. They got by with it. It's not good for you to think you get by with anything. God is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want to read you a story about a man in the Old Testament by the name of Manasseh. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 33 and verse 10, it says this about Manasseh. Said the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh. Now he's the king, folks, he's the king. Which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed to him, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord Jehovah was God. I want to call your attention to this. This great king was carried off into Babylon, and the Bible says when he was in affliction, he humbled himself. And he repented unto God. He turned from his wicked ways. And he turned to the God of his fathers. That meant the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's who he turned to. During Manasseh's reign, anything went in Israel. Anything, child sacrifice, Moloch. They were killing babies just like they are now, killing babies. They had temple prostitutes. Back then they called them sodomites. Temple prostitutes, that was part of the fertility religion. You don't have to get into detail this morning, friends, but it was as vile as it gets. They worshiped the host of heaven. They were dismayed by the number of the stars, so they put names on them. They worshiped the queen of heaven. He talks about her in the book of Jeremiah. They had communion with demons. They drank to the demons about them. They took, embraced their gods. Every god was welcome under Manasseh of all of the tribes around there, except the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He wasn't welcome. I thought that's quite revealing. That's what it is today. In America, the religious scene is that I don't care what you believe, who your God is, let's just all get together. It's going to be okay. But the problem is that the Lord Jesus Christ does not share the stage with anybody. That tells you right there who he is. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that led to the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, when John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." There's only one that can do that. There's only one blood that can wash your sins away. There's only one cross that, my dear friend, you could be saved at. But today, everybody's climbing up the mountain. They're all getting to the top. They just come their way. The Hindu, the Buddhist, the Muslim, everybody. It doesn't make any difference who they are. They're all going to the same place. And now the churches are preaching it. I get a letter yesterday, an email. I get emails every day, but this email came in. And this person said, "Preacher, please pray for us." She says, where we live, the churches are all New Age. New Age, feel good. The music is mosh pit music. You know, feel good music. Full of beat. She says, "Please pray for us. Preachers won't preach on anything here anymore." She says, "Please pray for us." This is what's happening all over the country. A lot of it has to do with the visitors that you see coming to temple today. The people that are watching us right now online.
Right now, going through that camera right there, there's over 400 computers watching what's going on in here right now. There could be 800 people. There could be 1,100 or 1,200 people. We don't have any idea. But there are over 400 computers watching us right now. Why? Because a lot of these people where they live, it's nothing but playtime anymore. New age. Dead. This is why I'm preaching what I'm preaching to you this morning. My Lord Jesus Christ won't fit in with their religion today. He's everything or he's nothing. He's the Son of God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And every religion, every God, everything out there is doomed and damned without hope and without God. There's only one way, folks. Our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, boy, that's narrow-minded. That even sounds bigoted. You were born in the wrong generation. Go back and get you some tapes of your grandfathers and your great-grandfathers and the preaching that they listened to. And you'll find out, my dear friend, we're the ones who've departed from the truth. Amen. 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 Long suffering. But here's what happened to Manasseh. The Bible says when he was in affliction, he came to himself. When he was in affliction. Some of you are ready to go to divorce court. Two Christians should never go to divorce court. Are you listening? Ought not be so. Problem is that an awful lot of people say they're Christian, but they don't have Christ in their heart. So there's nothing there to work out the problem. Little children get split asunder. They get pulled asunder. The whole fabric of our society is a husband and a wife. God gave us that before he ever gave civil government. He joined Eve to Adam. God, the father, he was the first official. He oversaw the first wedding. He brought the woman to the man. He established society, civility. Once you deviate from that, like yours down here in Greenville, South Carolina, you've got cross-dressers, transvestites. You've got men in drag. That means here's a man coming in here dressed up like a woman. Little children are going to sit there and they're going to look at this and they're going to be desensitized to it. They're going to be expected to accept it. They're recruiting these little children. And so there's these people down here. There's a big dog fight going on down here. The people are saying this is a public library. Shouldn't let this kind of thing happen. And the people who run the library are saying now that this is the freedom of speech and that it's like a government facility. There's nothing we can do about it. And other people are joining in. And what happens is when you get in a dog fight like this, they show their colors. They show their colors. They're coming after your children. They want your kids. They want your children. The people who come in here, men dressed in drag, they need the Lord. They need the Lord. They need to be saved. But they sure don't need our little children. Is there anything that'll stir up this generation? That'll get you on fighting ground? Is there anything that'll get you to the point to where you say, enough? Enough of this? Amen. How far does it have to go before the church wakes up and says, now wait a minute, these people have an agenda. They're not going to stop until they've got what they want. And they're recruiting our little kids. Will anything wake us up? Will anything? What will it take? This is what's happening in Greenville, South Carolina. You say, what can I do? But you can pray for these people. You can pray for the Christians down there in South Carolina, your brothers and sisters that are in this dogfight. You can pray for your brothers and sisters down there in Greenville or wherever else it's happening in the country right now. And you can join together. And then when it comes time to go to the polls and vote, find out where they stand. Find out where that politician stands. Find out. And then when you go in that polling booth, you'll know who to vote for and who to vote against.
I remember a few years back, I went into the polling booth. I didn't know who I was going to vote for. I knew who I was voting against. I'd have voted for Mickey Mouse. But I know who I was voting against. You get me here? That's what's going on today. God help us. Let's wake up, folks. It's time for the fight. It's time for the fight. It's time to stand. It's time for the fight. How many veterans we got in here today? Look at this house full of veterans. You men know what you know. What you were trained to fight. You went through basic training. You went through boot camp or, you know, whatever form it took. They gave you a weapon, told you how to use that weapon. You learned structure. You learned the structure of command. You learned responsibility. You learned all the things necessary to fight. You know, well, this is what we're doing now. Fight the good fight of faith. Contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I may be going out. I may be leaving you. I may not be here long. I don't know how long I'm going to be here. But I want to do this. I ran track in high school. And I played basketball. That's what I did. And I ran the relay, the 440 relay. And the fastest man is always the last one. That's the one you give the baton to. That's the fastest man. And that baton, you give him that, and it's his place to finish that race. All right? And when he finishes that race, hopefully you've won. I am on that last leg. The baton has been handed to me. I'm in the generation of 1946. I know a lot of brethren that are gone. They're in their 80s, their 90s. Now they're gone. They're not here anymore. My generation is the one right behind them. I'll be going too in not too long if the Lord doesn't come back. I'm going to finish my race. I've got the baton. I'm going to carry it to the end. Amen. I'm going to carry it as far as I can till I drop dead. Amen. I am not going to give in to this ecumenical, dead, dying, godless churches today that are denying the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll leave the judgment to God. I'll let Him settle that. But I'll tell you right now, that baton has been handed to us. And that's mine. It's not yours. If you're 30 or 40, 50 years old, you're not on that final leg. I am. I'm 72. I'm on the last leg. And I'm going to carry it to the end by the grace of God. Amen. Carry it with me. Father, in Jesus' name, bless this church. Bless Temple Baptist Church. They've stood true and faithful, Lord. They've supported your word. House is full this morning, packed out with people who come in here. And I believe, my Father, with all my heart, that a good 90, 95% of these people are right with what I've said. And they agree with me. They know the enemy. And they know what he's trying to do today to our children. They know it. They can see it. They know that he will not stop until he has completely transformed America. Help us, Lord. Help us stand. Help us do what you've called us to do. Help us stand in the battle. Help us stand in the fight. Help us not run. Give us courage and give us faith. And show us, in Jesus' name we pray. And for Jesus' sake I ask it.